I've been looking at, and obviously you're one of the guys who's really been the driving force behind it. So first question I had to ask was, like, where did the germ of the idea that grew into come from?
Came simply from the Scottish Learning Festival way back in 2004. There'd been John Johnson, David Noble, and we had met up as kind of the bloggers who had known each other online, but who hadn't met. It was in the summer of 2005. There was the Edinburgh City Council kind of e-live conference. Maybe it's a year later, actually. Things all merge into one. And at the e-live conference, there was a desire to hook up with each other and talk about what we've been up to with this newfangled technology. But there was also Will Richardson over from the States, and so there was an opportunity to meet each other, to share some food and some wine and talk again about what we've been up to and where we thought it was going to go next. And it spawned from that, so that what we ended up with was a kind of regular event that we could have where people were sharing stories and trying to share some practice as well, but in a really laid-back, informal environment. And a key part of it was to kind of be slightly reactionary against the straightened preset questions that the more formal events out there set us to answer. We weren't interested in the same old arguments that we kept going round and round the houses. We wanted to discuss new stuff, and that's what Teach Meet was for.
And at the start there, how much of the organisation were you doing yourself, and how much of it was crowdsourced?
For the first year and a half, it was there was a lot of effort on my part in terms of getting cash to help pay for it, because it's not free. It does have a cost attached to it if you want to do it well, in terms of having a cracking venue that inspires people, in terms of having refreshment to get people away from the normal conformities of conferences and departmental meetings and the humdrum of daily life. And there was a lot of organisation in terms of getting both support from on high, from Learning and Teaching Scotland, from the Scottish Government, and from corporations like RM, who were undertaking very, very large, ambitious projects, and who I felt, and who the Teach Meeters felt, maybe had something they could learn also from this more distributed approach to working. So there was a lot of effort on my part, but frankly there was probably just as much effort coming from some of the organisers or unorganisers. David Muir, I remember breaking a back to find places to eat. He always has a passion for that. We had help from Steve Muir at Channel 4 in terms of finding venues and bringing money together. We had help from David Noble. Came in with quite a lot of support in terms of the broadcast of it, something which I hadn't even thought of, but which is becoming a regular fixture, allowing people to participate from wherever they are in the world. And he also had a multitude of teachers doing little things here or there just to pull the event off, and it's the kind of stuff that would normally slip if it was just one or two people organising it. And so it's a real team effort each and every time. No matter who kicks the idea off, it always ends up being a huge team effort, and I think that's also part of the learning experience for those who take part.
When it became clear that you were going to be moving away from Teach Meet at least for a while, was there a bit of a worry there, or did you think it would disappear, or did you feel that the concept
I didn't think it would disappear. No, far from it. There's plenty of people, because it's that team effort, there's plenty of people who understand what it's about. I think I was worried that it would become institutionalised, the very thing we had sought to avoid, and that because part of the most important part for me actually is how an event is led and the attitudes that are promulgated throughout an event. And it's generally, when I've been running events, it's been as irreverent as possible in a bid to kind of distance itself from the hierarchies we're used to. And the effort, the reason for doing that is to try and generate alternative discussion from what we're used to. I think that there's, Yeah, there are a few events where I'd look at it and go, that just feels like another conference. But the vast majority, including variations on like Con Morrissey's lead meet, are real twists on the format, and they add so much, I think, to the quality of debate. Maybe not in depth, because it's not designed to be an event that brings great depth to subjects, but in terms of introducing new things to people, it's been priceless.
You mentioned lead meet there. That's actually one of the next things I was going to talk about. It's always continued to grow and evolve, and I mean, there's been lead meet, Greg meet, there's been small local ones, there's been big national ones, there's been an international aspect to it. If it's subject-based ones, people have been changing the rules a bit, and I mean, there's even been beer meet. How do you feel about these current evolutions of the model?
What was your question, Mr.?
How do you feel about the current evolutions of the model that you've
got? Well, the evolutions of it are essential to continuing to survive, otherwise it becomes irrelevant. One of the first international ones was a group of teachers in Holland who had contacted me very nervously saying, you know, do you mind us taking this format? And I was kind of like, well, you know, I don't have a clue how you run a teach meet in Holland, because attitudinally they're different from us. In terms of the issues that are important to Dutch teachers, they're different for us. So if you're going to have a teach meet in Nashville, like the one that's on there at the moment, frankly, you need to be in Nashville to be able to work that out. And I think some of the beer meets and the various things, you know, they're all part and parcel. I think we had more than our fair share of teach meets, which were more or less beer meets in pubs, very relaxed indeed. I think the ones that I feel are the ones that I feel lose the message are the ones that are all about technology, because TeachMeet was never about technology 100%. It was about the teach, first of all, and the tech was instrumental to achieving what we wanted to achieve pedagogically, and never the other way around. And a few times I've seen that slip, and I think that's people maybe just quite getting the concept. Thankfully, most folk do get it and understand perfectly this very fine balance we play between the teaching leading the tech and vice versa.
Now, what do you think made TeachMeet so successful, and when did you realise that you'd managed to come up with something really quite special?
It was at the Scottish Learning Festival we did the first big one that I realised it was working, because we had Dave Weinberger, one of my heroes, sat cross-legged on the floor, unable to find a seat, drinking some very dubious red wine that we'd been gifted. And that's what, and so many people packed into such a tiny space, giving up their time and telling amazing stories. That was the first big kind of teach meet we did. It was the second one that we did, and it was spectacular. And from that moment, I thought, yep, this is a thing that works. Why does it work as a format? Because anyone can share it in a line with someone that doesn't know anything about it. And the key to any successful project is, can you describe what it is in one line on a very noisy train to Luton Airport? And if you can, then you've got a successful idea. If it requires documentation, if it requires you to be part of it already in order to understand it, if it requires you to visit a website to understand what it is, if it requires you to be a geek, or if it requires you to be part of a gang to understand it, then you've failed. And TeachMeet succeeds on all fronts because it requires none of these things.
That's a good message. You've touched on a couple of things already. Are there any other challenges that you think TeachMeet has
to meet with? I think one of the biggest challenges that we're coming up against is folk wanting to commercialise it, and that was the one thing that we were very clear that we wouldn't allow, and I'm quite strong in that. I'm in the process of looking at how we can kind of protect a couple of things. I think one is protecting the quality threshold of what is a teach meet, and that's about the attitudes of the people organising it rather than the content the teachers present on the night. I think it's very clear that the teach over tech message must not get lost. The second thing is protecting it against commercial exploitation, and there have been a couple of examples where that took place, and that must not be left to happen, because it's become a brand that's recognisable amongst a certain number of people. It has a financial value, but it mustn't be exploited for the riches of someone else. It should be exploited for the good of the community. And I'm looking at ways that we could perhaps start using some of the revenue generating potential of this to further the TeachMeet model of professional development elsewhere in the world, where bringing an event together like that is not so easy, and finding people to take part is very difficult, and where the benefit would be absolutely massive. So there's two issues there, I think, that need maybe some organisation moving on, and there's been some early discussions as to how we might do that. I think my main concern is that it needs to diversify beyond the very large but still very niche group that attend it. And for that, I would be keen to see a kind of Jamie Oliver-esque pass it on, where anyone who's been has to bring three of their non-teach meet friends along, and they have to, and everyone did that, and in principle, we do it 25 times over, we'd have the whole of Europe having been to a teach meet, and that would be a very powerful thing, I think, for education.
Sounds good. Now, you've spoken briefly before about Dream Meet, which was kind of blue sky kind of area for you. How would you imagine that happening?
I wrote the Dream Meet proposal in a blog post once quite a long time ago and can't even remember what I proposed. I think the Dream Meet is going to be something that you do when you think, well, we're going to have the next one. I'd like to organise the fifth birthday Teach Meet this summer, and I think that will be as close to a Dream Meet as possible, so watch this space.
That's exciting news that we've just heard. Now, I'm on to my very last question, and this one is purely for my own personal annoyance factor.
Mm-hmm.
I've been having a look round the wikis and everything, trawling them into my delicious, and, you know, I've got first edition, second edition, third edition,
and
I get 6, 7, and then I get 9, and I can't find the 8th edition anywhere.
The missing editions. There's a project in there. I'll put my mind to it. I can't off the top of my head think where they are, but we did keep very good count at the beginning until we got to about number 10, and then we lost count. And that plane signals the end of this interview.
Well, that's perfect timing. You, thanks very much. I know you're a busy, busy man. Thanks for taking time out to talk to us.
Not at all. It's a pleasure. And if I don't make the plane, we'll have an extended interview in about 20 minutes' time.